They turned out to be completely unreliable assholes.
Okay, Tim, hi.
Hi.
Good
How
to
are
see you,
Ryan?
Fine. Good evening.
Good evening.
All right.
Yeah.
We just watched a movie.
We sure did.
Netflix.
Yep.
Thanks, Netflix. There's so much on there.
You're so good to us, Netflix. I mean, we pay you, but, you know.
What did we watch?
We watched a movie called The Ritual.
Look, we go southwest through here. We cut the journey in half.
Or through the forest?
Yeah, why not?
I should have gone to Vegas.
Oh, you'd have found something to fall over in Vegas too, mate. Now, is it me, or is it really quiet in here?
Been gutted.
Could be hunters out here.
Bait,
possibly. Or it's the bit they don't show you in the nature documentary.
It's a warning.
We shouldn't be here.
Where the hell are we, Hutch?
We should pitch this.
Yes.
Tent.
Yep.
It was very much that.
And it was.
What would you rate it?
Oh, man. I would pay money for this. I'd say definitely $5. So like, if it was on, you know, Amazon or whatever for $5 or VOD or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm into it. I wouldn't own it.
I wouldn't own it. I was happy with streaming it. I'd say, as these are recommendations for ourselves, I'd say stream it.
Cool.
Yeah. We'll get into all that as to why.
Yeah. So I guess we should say, welcome.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm just getting right into it. Welcome. Welcome to everyone there. You know, we get so caught up talking to each other, or I do. Yeah. Welcome. This is...
This is Dismembering Horror.
With the Horror Hounds of Hollywood.
That would be us. I'm Tim Aslin.
I'm Ryan McDuffie.
Extraordinary.
We're still getting this intro. We got, intro with titles. Sorry, you do have it written there.
I know.
I just saw intro.
It's all good.
Well, okay, well, so let's jump right to what worked for us then.
Yeah. Oh, no, let's do a summary. Let's summarize. The Ritual. The Ritual is a movie about five dudes.
Yes.
And I really, it has quite a good cold opening. I liked it. So the cold opening is basically these five dudes are saying, hey, we should go do something fun. And one of them says, we should go on a hike. And everyone's like, that's a dumb idea. And then that guy gets killed.
Right. So that's not what it's about, though.
That's just true.
The setup. So it is about four dudes.
It is about four dudes.
Blokes.
Yes. English blokes who are 6 months after their friend has been killed, they're going on a hike to honor him. That's basically
Perfect.
What it is. In the middle of Sweden.
Well, something happens when they're there, too. It's more than just a hike in the woods.
Yeah. Antics ensue. I mean, it's almost like you can pretty much guess.
Yeah.
We're going to go... We're four dudes from the city who are going to go into the woods.
Well, upon deciding to take a shortcut through the woods...
Right.
They are mired by... a ritualistic cult
and
ancient cult
and
worshiping a demigod.
Malevolent force?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I like this movie a lot.
Cool. And sorry if we're going totally out of order with our things there.
Whatever.
But we're getting it. You know, I want consistency. Okay, so now I think we're good to get to what worked for us.
Yeah, man.
What worked for you?
Okay, so yeah, I guess for me, one of the first things, obviously I jumped the gun on this too. The cold opening just worked for me. I like that there's sort of a pretty straightforward setup we get right away, we know who's who. You know what I mean? Like, each guy has their own opinion about what they think they should go do for fun as a group. And you know, it's a really good device just to be like, we're going to identify what character has what point of view in like one sentence from each of them. Not even sentence, like just one opinion.
Like, yeah, I liked it.
It's bang on. And then they move right into Rob, I think was his name, right? The guy, the friend who gets killed. They walk into two of them walk into a liquor store and it's being robbed. And, oh, maybe that's why his name is Rob.
The whole thing was simple.
Because it was being robbed.
Right. Oh. It was simple, quick. I liked it. And it reminded me very much, actually, even more with you saying it, of The Descent, where this was five, you know, guys instead of four, instead of a group of women.
Yeah.
And that, you know, started out with the tragedy and accident, and this did similarly, and they're all affected by it and going on a trip later.
Yeah, and I mean, it does a really good job of setting up sort of who our main character is, who's Luke. Because he is in the liquor store when Rob gets killed and he hides and does nothing. So that's his, we get it. It's like, that's his cross to bear or whatever. Yeah.
I liked how it came back visually and became
I loved
character
that.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So they use this really cool sort of, instead of just doing flashbacks or dream sequences, they start with a dream of him being back in the liquor store. And then as the movie progresses, it becomes more like the liquor store is in the woods with him. So they sort of mix the dream and reality progressively. I thought that was really cool.
It's neat as like that's one of the rules of or not rule, but like powers. I don't know what you'd say. One of the things the demigod creature.
Oh, yeah, I didn't really think of it that it was sort of being caused by the demigod.
Well,
yeah,
I saw it was definitely influenced by it all, because
totally.
They all had the nightmare same night and sort of went through their own equivalent of that, presumably.
Yeah, and we're kind of just, because the story is, you know, we've attached to this one guy.
Yeah.
That we're really only privy to his.
And like how the god worked was something about confronting fear, or whether you're feeling it or not, so it would make sense that would intentionally sort of bring out those nightmares.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I have a lot of things I liked about it.
At the top of my list, I have a very favorite thing.
Oh,
which is so. Yeah, I mean, maybe I should say what I liked about this were just, you know, the things why we're doing this, just the things that you would only get in a horror movie.
Right. I was thinking about that too. Yeah.
And so my favorite part, hands down, or moment was the burning of, I guess, the ancients.
Yeah.
Which was just like one of those perfect like late horror movie things where they have the protagonist like going through wherever they're trapped, and then they just come across like another like weird twisted thing. And so it did that, and in this case it was a room full of the decrepit but still alive, I guess. I saw it as if they mentioned and this was cool because it just
yes, I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
If they mentioned that it kept you alive forever,
right,
that maybe it does that, but at the same time, if it's you're really, really old, it just it chose.
I didn't catch until I went and read the Wikipedia page afterwards. I didn't catch that was sort of the reason that these Swedes are having this ritual, or like are worshiping this demigod.
Yeah.
Like, I know that it must have been when the girl, the younger of the group of Swedes, the evil Swedes.
Yeah.
Which is sort of a funny group to be like, they're the bad guys. But I didn't catch when that was said, but it must have been her, right? It was the young one. She said something.
Yeah, she comes in, and I'm pretty sure, and says that when he's escaped, but or when he's untied himself, but before he's escaped, she gives him.
But I just didn't. Maybe hear exactly what she said.
I was paying attention because I know I do that a lot. Like, I've missed stuff in other movies we've talked about, but like I was just kind of getting caught up on what was almost like, I guess, a plot hole of thinking, well, if all these people are here, why don't they just leave? Like,
right,
why don't they just leave the
There's
forest?
There's got to be a reason.
And as soon as I thought that, they gave the reason, which was that it's keeping them alive. And they are willingly worshiping it, which I thought was cool.
Yeah, so... I mean, real quick, just basic things that I like that aren't really relevant to horror, but it visually, it's really well shot.
Mm-hmm.
It looks great. It's directed well. It's acted well. Like all the sort of technical things that you want. It's obvious. Like we tried to find out how much it costs to make this movie, and we can't find it. So. Probably because it's owned by Netflix and they like to hide that
stuff. We know Netflix bought it for $4 million, so I assume, you know, a couple million maybe.
Right. At least, I mean, it's, yeah, I guess, I mean, there's, that creature design is, it looks really good.
Yeah.
Like when you finally get to see the creature, it's not wonky.
That was also on my list here, things I like. The monster design, I loved that first shot of like its arm, like its eyes and its arms was so good.
Like, I want to know if that's based in anything.
It seemed very Nordic.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Nordic stuff.
The antlers.
But there's like four bodies in that thing.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It was.
Like, there's an upside down headless body.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like. Yeah, it's like, it's
and it
really
connected
cool.
to like the its portions connected to. I liked when they first that first cabin they come into, mm-hmm. and there's the where they say it's witchcraft that body torso.
I love that.
Even that was
the even
really
before
cool.
like the I guess like the scene before that.
Yeah,
that image of the I assume it's some sort of elk or reindeer or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're in Sweden, you're probably eating reindeer, right? I choked on reindeer when I was in Norway once.
Really?
Yeah.
Did someone have to give you the Heimlich?
Almost. I got it out. I coughed it out.
Was it
scary.
Just, was it that good that you were just
yeah, I guess so. Scarfing? I was just scarfing down Rudolph.
I was going to say, was it Christmas? Was it the holidays?
No, they just eat reindeer up there.
No, I wasn't saying that they, you know, they only eat it over the holidays, but that maybe in a twisted way you were.
Oh, yeah. No. It's just
well,
just
I'm
dinner.
Glad you made it out of that alive.
I was like 8.
Okay.
Real scared.
So you haven't choked on
throat full. Of
haven't
reindeer.
Choked on reindeer since.
No, not until I saw this movie.
I loved the little like weird feet cobweb. What am I saying?
Yeah.
The feet on them. Why did I say cobweb? Because they were like.
I know what you mean.
The what is that? There's a word for it. Between your fingers.
The webbing. The webbing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what I was going to say is that there's a scene when they come, like sort of the first inkling that like, oh shit, we're in woods. There was some weird shit going on. Uh-huh. Is they come across this reindeer. Let's just call it a reindeer. It's probably not even a reindeer, but whatever. An antlered hoofed animal that's up in the trees and it's splayed like spread eagle. And I was like, and its guts are hanging out.
Yeah.
And I really was taken by that image. Like, I sort of immediately thought to myself, like, first of all, the immediate reaction I had was like, holy shit, like, that's super disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think part of it is that you're seeing an animal that you've never seen in that position before. You know what I mean? It's like arms are up.
Well, it shows it's very human on a crucifix.
Exactly. And it's definitely not a human. It's a fucking, you know... elk or something.
But I think maybe what's eerie and effective about it is like when you see a dog or a cat stretch out and you like are looking at them and they're like, oh, they do have like a weird little person body in a way. You know how they're not dissimilar to us.
Yeah, except for their backwards knees or whatever.
Yeah. So but you just see their little person to them. And that's what I think was disturbing about you know, it stretch out. It looked like kind of human.
And you know, like the second you see that, you know that somebody's going to get that. You know what I mean? Like
somebody's
going to end up like that of their group.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's coming.
And it did not disappoint.
Which is great, right? Like set up the scare.
Mm-hmm.
Like once you plant that seed, it just sat there for me. Like I'm like, I know it's coming.
Right.
And I don't really want to see it because it's going to be kind of gross.
I was ready to see it. I was excited. and like start killing them.
Yeah.
And I liked it when they did. That was fun. I liked their, I liked it when it did get to,
To Hutch.
Their deaths.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So one of the things that in terms of horror that I found really effective in this, and at times actually bothered me, but to a positive effect, like it, the effect was that I felt as though I there were a lot of shots where I was like, I can't quite see enough, right? And I'm sure this is purposeful. You're in the woods and there's a lot of these long lens shots of like the trees, and you know, it compresses the space, so you kind of can't see anything else, right? But you've got all these trees, and not really ever being able to see through them or like what's on the other side, or just to have space in the shot. Like there aren't a lot of wide shots. There's a couple, but like that creates unnerving feeling for me that I really loved. Yeah, it just primed me up.
It was, that was used really effectively for me in that one shot where it's like he and us are like really trying to get a look at what it is he's seeing in the trees. And like, I thought I saw a person, but then it's like the thing moves and it's some giant elk creature.
Yeah, I think it's the first time he sees something in there. The very first thing you see is a human hand grabbing, like coming out from the side of a tree and like grabbing the tree.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a little too high in, you know what I mean? It's like 15 feet up the tree.
Yeah.
So you're like, what the fuck? And then this weird beast thing sort of moves and then this shot's done. Like you do not get to see this creature in its entirety. What, until the last 10 minutes, maybe?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which is also great.
No, it was a little earlier than that, because it wasn't 10 minutes for that whole end bit where they finally get to the cult, and then we see it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Okay, so maybe 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But awesome. Like, I don't want to see the creature. I really don't want to see the creature until the last act, for
right.
sure. Like, I just don't. I don't need it.
I agree.
Especially in a movie like this. Which, speaking of...
Yes.
Knee injuries?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
They just make me so uncomfortable. Partially because I've blown out both of my knees. So I get it. Like, I know...
Was that from choking on reindeer?
Yeah. I choked and then I fell down some stairs.
It was gruesome, that the bruising.
I don't know what it is. It's so obviously, if you haven't seen this, one of the catalyst moments of this movie is early on in their hike, the most annoying dude, Dom, who's super annoying in the best way. Like, I love him because I hate him so much.
Mm-hmm.
So good job, Dom. But he tweaks his knee. And so it makes them change their course, right? They say, we could go the long way that we were planning on going, or we can go through the woods, which should be shorter. So that's why they're in this situation in the first place, which comes to a head later, which I'm on the fence about this scene, but I like it, but I wonder if it's a little too on the nose, maybe. I don't know. I want to know your
opinion.
Which
scene when
this.
It gets to what?
So when Dom, you know, they've kind of shit's hit the fan, and before anybody's died, and Dom finally says, this is your fault, to Luke.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of get into the, really the underpinning of what this story is Luke having to face whether or not he was a coward and let his friend die, or if he had done something, would it have been different?
I didn't, that came out of, I actually wasn't crazy about that, where that
okay,
came
in. So I'm not, Yeah, I'm very mixed about it because I think it's a necessary scene.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular story, it's necessary. Maybe it's not, but I don't know.
It could be, but it wasn't, at least for me, set up right.
Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere. It's like, I don't even remember exactly how his argument starts, but it's like...
A setup payoff that I did like was him, Dom, complaining about his knee and then them giving him a really bad time about it, saying, oh, he's just complaining, he's got to work through the pain, and right. then getting the retribution of it being really messed up and seeing that.
Yeah, yeah.
I was happy about that.
Yeah, but again, in terms of effectiveness of how you make an audience feel,
mm-hmm.
this movie did a lot of good things, and the knee thing is one of them, right? Like, it took nothing, like no, not even really even performance for me to be kind of like I'm cringing the whole time because I'm waiting for him to like misstep and hear, you know, the Foley artist use some celery mm-hmm. to like crunch and viscerally feel the inside of a knee like just falling apart.
Yeah.
And it never really happens, but it just setting that up,
mm-hmm.
it puts you sort of off kilter, which I think is super fucking effective.
Yeah, it was good that they ran with that, with the device of, you know, injuring being the reroute, and that it was throughout it and it had real repercussions.
Yeah. What else you got?
I liked how he physically took an axe and swung it at the demigod effectively. I thought at first it was like, wait, so he's going to like shoot it, which didn't work, of course. And then he's going to
what didn't work.
Right. And then he's going to like fight it with an axe. Okay, let's see it. And then right. the fact that he did it and it worked, I was just happy about it because it wasn't like, oh, come on. It was like, cool, great.
Right.
You can fight a god with an axe. Awesome. I'm down. It, like Hercules, you know, fighting, yeah, the demigod, the half gods, you know.
Right.
Son
well,
of
that's
gods.
True. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that. Where
it's
you're
just,
right.
It's like he's not a pure god. It's just like,
yeah.
All right, there's still that some bit of mortality to them.
So does this mean, or what is what they're going for, that the god Loki banged a deer?
Maybe.
And then that deer gave birth to this creepy, like, what? I don't even know where to begin with it.
Yeah.
Giant moose man. Reindeer slash multiple men?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
All right. I'll go with that. It sounds very Swedish.
Well, if that was so and it was a conception, I'd love to see how it looked as a baby.
Ooh. Oh, man. Who knows? Probably, like, grew outside of itself.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I mean by that.
I liked the casting of the worshippers, or whatever you'd call them.
Yeah, totally.
That's as, like, once it got to them in these horror movies, it's, like, fun whenever it gets to the sort of... The casting of the cult people is, you know, always signature and important, and it delivered in that aspect of, like, the intense-eyed, bald guy who kind of looks like, you know, the one guy and everything, and then the woman with the short woman.
Yeah.
And I don't know, is this the fun little like, cast of Nordic ritual characters?
It's kind of like central casting. Like, there's a file in central casting that's like the gaunt, off-putting people for a horror movie.
Yeah.
And there's like probably 30 of them. And they, you know, every horror film that's like, oh yeah, we have like hillbillies or, you know, Satan worshippers or whatever, they just call central casting and then they pull out that file.
And finally, the Nordic ones like had their
yeah,
heyday
exactly. yeah.
with this one.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I thought it was a little... Did it seem totally weird to have this, like, the young Nordic woman who, like, tells him what's going on? So she's sort of helping him?
It was pretty stereotypical for me of, like, of course yeah. the young, prettier one is the one who's, like, showing more sympathy and helping him.
Yeah, I just was like, why?
Yeah.
What, like...
Well, if the tone is changing here to things that didn't work for us, do you have any?
Oh yeah, that's a good point. No, I have a couple more things that work.
I want to hear them.
Okay. I like the spacing. I like the pacing, like between kills or between scares. Mm-hmm. Like it's paced out well. It's long enough between things. And obviously they did a good job as we move along the story, those things compress in mm-hmm. time, right? They become closer to each other. So I just felt like it was a well paced out movie. Maybe only once did I think like, are we almost done? You know what I mean? Like I was sort of unsure what more could happen. And it wasn't even a criticism. It was just me wondering, do we have like 20 minutes left or do we have like 2 minutes left?
Yeah.
And then it ended up being 20. So I was like, great, cool. Mm-hmm. And they gave us satisfying things for the most part. I liked really the only death that's sort of in your face, I guess, is the Hutch death. Like you see his... Well, it's not even really. I guess they're all...
My favorite death was when he shot the... He had two bullets and he shot the guy.
Yes! That is a good death.
It just came at like a really good moment. I mean, the specific editing of it, it was just...
Yeah, because the first bullet doesn't work or whatever. Yeah.
And it's just sort of like, whoa!
And it seemed like a shock to him too, which I think that's always a kind of a pleasing...
Yeah.
Moment when, like, not only did we not necessarily expect it, like, the character was like, oh, shit.
The inept with gun, but getting the shot off.
Yeah, that's all of mine.
Cool.
But I dug it.
Great.
And now I'm going to list about 15 things that didn't work.
All right, let's do it.
It's not ready yet.
Seems to work okay.
No, something important's missing.
What did not work?
So I didn't enjoy the film as much as you. Or I enjoyed it, but I didn't give it as high as a rating as you.
That's fair.
And I guess, I don't know, if you want to hear them, I have some of those reasons why.
Yeah, hit me up. Hit me up, like, next week.
Right. No, I thought... like, I don't know, I guess a main thing, you know, that's key, because this movie was, like, so, it was effective enough that maybe, you know, it was maybe harder on it, you know, as far as being, like, a movie that I could get into.
Yes.
But the characters for me were just way too, like, bland or uninteresting. They were all kind of just this bravado type. Like, I thought that... I really liked when they had that first, or not the first, the scene where they had the nightmares together.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that at that point it was going to get more interesting and they were going to sort of have like shed their defense, you know, so to speak.
Okay.
Their defenses and stop just being so like having just the tactic of just yelling at each other and everything and just doing like the immediate impulsive thing as a solution and actually sort of have their like their emotional like guard down, and which they, it is just like they're scared and they're freaking out, but it wasn't like they shed their hidden defenseless, you know, selves, you know what I'm saying, in front of each other.
I think you're totally right. I think that's sort of one of my criticisms too. Nobody in this movie really grows.
Yeah.
And there are like demonstrable examples of this. Like Dom, who gives the main character Luke all this shit about not being, you know, not helping his friend and being a coward and all this stuff. It's a pretty awful thing to lay on your friend, right? At no point, even when they're fucked at the end,
right,
does Dom go, hey man, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Right. When So you're talking about when he says, this is all your fault, which you mentioned earlier. I thought that was unearned and out of place as far as like, it wasn't the way that they apologize or the way when he, because what's the main guy, Luke, at the beginning, he did say, when they're having the memorial for the friend, he said something about it being my fault or they could tell he was thinking that.
Right.
And then one of the guys said, don't worry about it. This isn't your fault at all. And even though, you know, the other ones didn't speak up, Dom in this case, it still set the tone of like, at least these guys are smart enough to just like see the situation and not put him down for it. And I could see, you know, he is still, you know, Luke would still be feeling guilt. be guilt heavy, but not the friends. So it was, right. And also it's like, what's it going to do to help the situation at that point?
I know they're all in, I mean, most of all, Phil, mm-hmm. he's like a non-character, and they give him the sort of creepiest dream.
Which one was Phil?
Phil is the guy who ends up naked, praying in front of the, the second to last to die.
Got it.
And he is like non-existent of, like, he has zero character to
right.
him. He's like just a dude.
He's a bloke.
Yeah. There's nothing to him. Yeah. He's so one-dimensional.
Yeah.
Oh, my feet hurt. I should have gotten different boots. That's like it. That's the only thing we know about him. And then he has definitely the creepiest of the dreams, apparently. Like, he is real messed up from it.
I'm trying to...
But we don't get any, like we don't know anything about
him. I'm trying to compare this to, like... It's interesting, though, because I'm trying to compare it to, like, The Descent, which I think is a great, mm-hmm. great horror film. Yeah. And, you know, picking up on... And trying to remember, like, how present we are to, like, who those characters are. And I'm trying to think why it worked better. Mm-hmm. Because I think about, like, recent movie, you know, Dunkirk, which people had the complaint about, you didn't know anything about the characters, blah, blah, blah. I thought it was still great. Like, you were just in the situation, and I was relating to them immediately.
Well, so and I'm it's also more, what, well, in that case, I think that's part of the point of what the story is. It's like a bunch of people are in a real fucked up situation. So
why didn't that work for this one in this case? Because it's not just their background or learning. I don't know.
It's because nobody grows. I think mm-hmm. it's because nobody has dimension enough to them. They all have their, like we said, which now I'm almost regretting that I said this, that it worked to set them up in the beginning to know exactly who they are. But then we never get to see them shift.
Right. That's what I was saying. The scene that I thought that was going to happen, it just didn't.
Yeah.
Bummer. Yeah. But interesting when it works, when it doesn't. But you're right. Yeah. No, nothing to change. Nothing did change with them. I mean, you talked about the pacing between the kills was good. Or I think that's what you said more or less, right? Yep. I don't know. I thought the pacing overall was good, but that it could be shorter, specifically just losing, like, there was a middle section where I just was getting really bored during it, which was after the first kill and before they get trapped by the cult worship people. It's just sort of like them running around the forest, getting separated and just running away from this monster thing for a while, and nothing much happens.
Yeah, you're right. They could have condensed that way down.
Yeah, I wish it was just like the first kill, and then they all, you know, show up trapped.
They literally could have just done like almost not quick cuts, but they could have done a 30-second long sequence where you see the three dudes in like six totally different locations, right? It's like, oh, we're by a creek bed. Oh, we're climbing up the side of a hill. Oh, we're just a different part of the woods. And we would get it right away. Right.
It doesn't even have to be.
They've been doing this for a while.
It doesn't even have to be that they've been doing it for a while. It can't. I mean, we're in a forest in the middle of nowhere. They could have just come across it sooner. Right.
But also, I think they wanted to. I think this is, you know, this is the filmmakers trying to lean in on the anticipation of something's going to happen. I'm not saying it worked.
Yeah.
But I think that was the desired effect. But I agree. It's like, we didn't need quite so many shots at that point of the woods.
Right.
We get it. We've been in the woods with them for a while.
And I'd say in that section too, we didn't need so much of the monster. Like, I know you were saying it was good that we didn't see it in its full. I liked that, you know, its face wasn't revealed to then. But it was so just like, okay, it is some big monster. It's not in their imagination during the middle. It was just kind of this chase thing. I don't know, where the monster didn't have as much mystique to me as I wanted it to at the end. I would have rather had it be like more ambiguous, as if it was to even real or not by when we finally see it at the end.
I wonder if it would have worked better if there had been more in that particular section, which I think you could probably call, you know, the second half of the second act. Maybe not even, I mean, Yeah, I guess so. Let's call it that just for the sake of argument. Where it's like we kind of need new stuff to happen just to push things along. So instead what they did is they just reverted back to the fact that Phil is real freaked out because he had this dream, which happened we've moved on.
Yeah.
Hutch is dead. Fuck your dream. Right? Like, and you're still hung up on that. Mm-hmm. Like, you're being chased by some weird monster.
Yeah.
Like, forget about the dream. Like, deal with now.
And the chase stuff, it wasn't even very, like...
It wasn't chasey.
Yeah. It was just sort of like, okay, it's right there, and then it's hunting them, yet it didn't find them and kill them. Like, right. Is it just sort of stalking them, and then they just run away a little further, and then it stalks them again?
I got the sense, and maybe it just didn't translate, but I thought to myself, once they got to this when it's just Luke and Dom, and they pop out into the section where there are the little logs with flames on it leading.
That's what I was saying is when it picked back up for me. Yeah.
Right. I think that everything up to that point was suggesting that the creature wasn't stalking them. It was just pushing them in that direction.
Yeah.
Which is fine,
you
but...
You could communicate that more efficiently.
Yes, no doubt. And it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's me just speculating mm-hmm. that maybe that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, these were just sort of my... I had a few bigger things of things that didn't work for me, but if you have more little specifics...
Yeah, put your fucking flashlight away. You're being stalked by a
monster. Oh, yeah, that was
monster.
So annoying. It was like... Yeah,
that was like, absolutely. It made me so crazy. Your friend, first of all, one of your friends already got filleted and put in a tree.
Not only should you put your flashlight away for on the monster or in the woods, but just they also kept shining it on each other. I'm like, this guy just had a nightmare, is freaking out, and you're just shining a flashlight on his face. Like, that's always so...
Stop
just,
freaking out!
Right, it's so jarring to have a flashlight held at your face, but they kept doing it to each other, too.
It's almost... I wondered if it wasn't maybe the director or the DP are just a little in love with the lens flare.
It you fit know? The characters that they...
Well, that's true.
I think that they wouldn't stop to real... They're totally the kind of people who, like, I could see them shining a flashlight in my eye and be like, what are you doing? And they'd be like, oh, sorry. Like, there was not even think about it.
Right after Phil dies and Dom and Luke are huddled together under this tree stump, and Luke has been fucking shining the flashlight all over the place, there's a very, very brief moment where the actor was like, why the fuck is my flashlight still? Like, this makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And you see him kind of fumble with it and then pause and then turn it off. Almost like he's thinking, I know they told me to leave this thing on, but that's fucking dumb. I'm just going to turn it off anyway. I'm totally, I have no idea what he was thinking, but that was the impression. Maybe it's like, that's what I want the actor to be thinking in that moment, because I'm like, you got to be smarter than that.
What else you got?
Please. Some of these are kind of, they're probably maybe related to what you're saying, but they're a little bit broader. I don't know, the catharsis of Luke, or the intended catharsis of him overcoming his flaw, his mm-hmm. big demon, just didn't really land for me.
No, it wasn't there. So it was supposed to be that, like, he didn't have the guts to sort of, like, physically fight in the moment to save his friend, and so can he fight back to kill the monster or attack the monster? But those are really different situations.
And also, you know,
it was like he was being immediately threatened now, but it was someone else being threatened. If it was about saving something, someone else,
totally, I think this speaks exactly to sort of probably the biggest complaint that we've recurringly said. It's a little too surface level, mm-hmm. right? The notion that the thing he has to overcome is fighting back is way too surface level. The thing he should be overcoming is saving a friend, right? Like, I wanted him to save Dom.
Right, acting unselfishly versus just acting selfishly
and maybe die doing
himself.
It. Like, I don't care.
Right, he doesn't need to make it.
he gets out, and him getting out of the woods is kind of, I don't know, it's a cop out, right? It's like he got out of the woods, and the monster can't go past the edge of the woods, so after, he wins
after burning up his whole routine, his ritual routine.
Yeah,
his or her,
right? Who knows?
Which was kind of, it was funny that there wasn't a bit more of just sort of a chaos and fight and rabble rousing around the burning and destroying of the ritual. Like when the demigod and all the people have been like freaking out.
Yeah. And I think conversely, wouldn't Luke be a little more like, he was a little too kind of, I don't even know what you would call this. I didn't think he was angry or like active enough in his reactions to what's going on. It was a little too internalized of a performance. I don't think it was a bad performance. I just was like, dude, if you're in this situation and you're tied up to that wall and your friend's about to get eaten by a fucking monster, or even before that, when they come in and you and your friend are tied up to this wall and the woman walks up to him and like offers him some water, I'd be like, why the fuck am I tied up right now? Who the fuck are you guys? Like, why aren't we, you know, like,
right? Or it wasn't
something of it.
There wasn't any of like, is he, or where we see him deciding or deliberating like if he should or should not drink the water to himself. He just sort of drank it.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, oh, is this water? Okay.
Yeah.
I was like hoping it was like fucking deer blood and he was going to be like, blah, what the hell? Get that out of my face.
Right. I was hoping it was some crazy shamanic ritualistic drink.
Yeah. You
know, that was going to mess
like
him
some
up.
Some acid trip.
It was going to mess him up somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I enjoyed it, but there were all these sort of underlying things. And I think, you know, as now we're investigating, it's like,
yeah. It did have the fun horror elements, which was sure to point out. I mean, yeah, what else is on your list of did not work for Timothy?
No one can run for real. Like, I get it, Dom's hurt, but everybody else, like, anytime they have to, like, move, they're doing the kind of, like, the movie shuffle run, which I hate. Like, just, I don't know. I know you're really handcuffed when you're filming, especially in terrain and whatever, but you guys had a budget. You could set up a track.
Right.
You could do some nice, you know, panning or like, what do you call it? Some nice dolly shots where people are actually running through the woods and you get trees like flying past. It would look cool, but they didn't do it. And there's a couple moments when Luke has to like get away from the monster that moves incredibly fast. It's a little bit of the like T-Rex syndrome, right? It's like we're running away from a T-Rex. T-Rex covers like 50 yards in a second. Mm-hmm. You can't outrun it. So there's, to me, it's like the one time you kind of, it fails at the willing suspension of disbelief kind of thing where it's like, you need to run.
Yeah.
Like, you need to at least look like you're running.
Yeah, that was the thing. Even the whole middle section too, I keep complaining about the creature, god, monster, never felt actually threatening because of the pace of the chase. And like, if you actually, like you said, had someone sprinting and really getting there, I would have felt like, oh god, they gotta get away from this thing. But I was just always kind of like, oh well, it's not really getting them.
Right. Did you like the thumb break?
Oh yeah, I did like that.
But what was the point? That. If you break your thumb, why does that make your...
How it visually looked, because look at my hand right now.
I know!
I'm not breaking it, and I'm making it...
Like, way smaller. Like, you have a rope around your wrist, and you fold your thumb in.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking your thumb...
I just liked him breaking...
I don't know.
I won't say I liked it because it made sense. I just liked him breaking his thumb.
I did, too. I really liked it. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute. What the fuck would that do?
Well, no, I just like the act of him breaking his thumb. Yeah. I didn't care if it made sense or not.
He's just punishing himself.
Yeah, it's just funny. I mean, not funny, but cool.
Yeah.
See someone inflict harm like that.
So the only other thing I really have is this is basically Blair Witch.
Mm-hmm.
Except a movie. You know what I mean? In the sense that Blair Witch was predicated on this idea that it's not a movie, that it's, you know, it was real and it was found footage and whatever. This is a movie, right? Like they're making no, you know, illusions about that. This is a film, but it's essentially Blair Witch.
Yeah, but I mean, just
which is fine. I'm not really criticizing it,
But I think maybe it speaks more to the fact that you really can't make this movie and not be compared to Blair Witch.
I guess so. But I mean, I think it's just a different enough skin, so mm-hmm. to speak, that aspect didn't distract me.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's definitely different. Yeah. But yeah, it's different, but the same, right?
Everything's the same.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I'm pretty forgiving in that.
This coming from people who watch like 50 zombie movies, you know yeah. what I mean? It's like,
well, we should watch 100 more shark movies, Tim.
Oh God.
This would be shark movie horror podcast. I just had one
and
more.
And we'll call it what? Chomped.
Yes, Chomped. I just had one more
cool
thing that didn't work for me that I have down here, which was, remember like the Transfiguration, which I thought was really good. And we were kind of more stretching for things that didn't work for us. I mentioned, how it was shot, where it was this kind of like at this, while it did feel very true to the film, it also wasn't very interesting.
Mm.
So now comparing to this one, I actually am even more forgiving of the Transfiguration, where it's just sort of like gritty aesthetic did just fit it so well. But for this one, it was just like, it was shot, this movie was shot well. Yeah. Like the shots of the forest really put me in there, some establishing shots. You could see what was going on. It told the story well. But this is just what I'm hard on. It wasn't interesting.
I know what you mean. It's like appreciating a picture that's in focus because it's in focus.
Yeah. It's like this is...
It doesn't mean it's a good picture. It's just like they got that thing right.
Right. It's like because this is how pictures look. Because this is how movies look.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you mean. And this movie in particular, you don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
You could do some, you could make this real weird looking.
It's weird looking, interesting looking, as well as just, I think I'm so partial to like, I don't know what to call it, except just that sort of the more art house horror style,
sure,
like
yeah.
The Witch or whatever, as a modern example.
Yeah.
Where it just feels real to me when I'm watching it, whatever that is. Like to imagine the gravitas of this creature, if it was just felt, shot, directed in such a way where this, when this creature came on, it was like, oh my God, because it is real, you know?
Yeah,
it
just... which is kind of unfortunate because the design was cool.
Yeah.
And because some of the setup and sort of where we were, I guess, what would you call it? Like the lore, I guess, of the story,
which
is pretty interesting.
All our complaints about it sort of add up to it not being able to achieve that. But I mean, specifically just talking about how it was shot, I think is just a sort of more obvious factor.
So I just looked up the director.
Yeah.
He did a movie called The Signal.
No, he was a, that was an anthology film.
Yeah. Oh, he did a piece. Yeah. So I've seen that.
He's known as, I think, like where he's the most successful segments in different horror anthologies.
Yeah. He's on Southbound. He's on VHS.
Or maybe the Signal. No, sorry. Southbound, I think, was maybe anthology one. Maybe the Signal.
I think the Signal is too. Oh, wait,
I haven't seen either of them.
I've seen both, and I can't remember which is which. This is a sort of thing of note.
Should we, let's move
Let's
it.
Do some things of note.
Things of note!
This should be interesting.
I don't know, I don't think this is the guy, but I did a bike ride from one end of Nevada to the other, west to east.
Oh.
And on that trip was a dude whose name is escaping me. I think it was John or something. John, yeah. And his son wrote and directed some of the stuff on, or at least one of the segments or whatever, the shorts on Southbound. So I don't know if it's the same guy, but it might be. That'd be cool.
That is no word. Tim may have biked with the father of the director of this film. Great. Well,
that's like,
you're just
that's
name
literally
dropping
my,
left and
yeah,
right.
That's
Tim.
Literally my only thing of note. A guy that I met once that I don't remember the name of might be the dad of the guy who directed this, but maybe not.
this was the only thing of note I had, which was like this I almost put into things that worked for me, but this is so just baseline that it didn't even feel like, I guess, it was worthy of that. But and I sort of mentioned this already, but like how from the opening frame of him ordering the drink just cuts right in. I knew I could get into this like it's a movie. I could engage with it on a movie level, at least.
Gotcha.
Like with, I don't know, with, you know, certain films, there's a line, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I was glad that this was in it from the get-go, where I'm like, okay, cool. I can now watch
movie.
It. Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's, I don't know. And it's just, it's hard to pinpoint exactly what it is, but it's just everything, you know, just in the image, the shot, the directing. But I was immediately like, okay, it's not totally bad.
That's cool. I mean, that's good most of the time.
It's good, but I mean, it's like this movie could have been worse in that aspect.
Oh, yeah.
And I probably would have enjoyed it just the same because it wasn't so successful that it brought it to another level. And what I liked about it were just the horror things.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I could have liked it just the same even without it, which is why I put it in things of note.
Yeah, I get you. Another thing of note, Andy Serkis produced this.
I saw that in like the executive producers and the credits at the beginning.
Yeah. Like, cool. I don't know.
Wait, was Andy Serkis British or is he New Zealand? He's British.
I think he's British too.
Yeah. So there must be some connection.
Yeah, maybe the
I really wish we could say that he played the creature, because he said he plays everything.
Maybe he did. he's uncredited as...
Get Andy Serkis in it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have much more of note. I mean...
All right, well...
There's a weird scene in it. I don't know what to think of this, so I'm going to put it as a thing of note.
Okay.
It's right after Hutch dies, I believe, and they sort of trek on after burying him, and the camera pans out of the forest. It's an overhead shot, you know, like a drone shot or whatever, and it pans up into clouds,
mm-hmm.
and then a total whiteout, and then we just move on. And I don't know what the purpose of that, other than to say we're moving on to the next section of this movie. It was a very sort of peculiar
that they're trapped
transition.
In the middle of the forest, yet the sky is just above them, out of reach.
Yeah, but it wasn't the sky, it was just clouds.
Clouds.
So I guess it's...
Was that in the middle section?
Yeah, it's sort of late middle.
I wonder if that's when I was kind of just getting
bored.
I think
that's right before the section that bored you.
Yeah.
So maybe that it was signifying that more shittiness is coming.
Yeah.
The clouds are rolling in.
I don't know. I wish I could remember it.
I just remember thinking, looking at it, going, this feels out of place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, with that, do you have any recommendations?
I do, sort of. Because I still have that subscription to, what was the thing I got?
Fandor.
I was scrolling through that, and they have a lot of older, obscure kind of sci-fi and horror stuff, and the Ed Wood, what's it called? Plan 9 from Outer Space. That's on there. I started that. I don't know if I'd recommend Deadshin it, but it's weird. It's interesting.
I haven't seen it since I was just watching movies like that in high school. I forget it. I think since I saw Ed Wood for the first time, I probably watched it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's worth looking at.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch the whole thing. And then also Black Cat, I think, is the other one that I started just because I've always heard about it being this like cool thing.
With the one with Bela Lugosi and...
I don't know.
Is it the 30s one with Boris Karloff? Oh, no, sorry, with Boris Karloff.
Oh, no, not Black Cat. Shit, now I don't even remember.
Because that's the one I was hoping to watch with you.
It's not that. It's Black Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got
A Mario Bava, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the opening scene, the opening scene, they like smash a spiked faceplate on a girl. And it's, holy shit, how'd they get away with this?
I've seen this one, yeah.
So I didn't watch that all the way through because I had to go do something. I don't know. I had to turn it off, but like I watched the first 10 minutes or whatever. Well, and for all of its shittiness, because it's so low budget and so just kind of quirky and whatever, but like it's pretty fucking interesting to see what filmmakers were doing and considering horror in that era.
Because
I think that one's 60-ish.
You should you should watch one of these in its entirety, and then you can really recommend edit.
Exactly.
To us.
I mean, does it count to say don't watch a thing? Yeah, I did that last week or the week before. Don't watch Open House.
You
it's
recommend
shit.
Dead, you don't watch a film.
Yes,
guess so.
Exactly.
It
I
is
recommend
a recommendation.
Dead not to watch certain things.
I like
too.
To keep it positive and share what share, you know,
I'm still
a suggestion.
I'm still loving My Favorite Murder.
Cool.
That's it. What do you got?
Thinking about anything I've been watching recently. This is not really too much, but I will say that a favorite show of mine has returned in a revamped, updated form with new episodes. And they may not be the originals, but the Fab Five are back and better than ever, Tim.
I watched the first episode.
Say, I was such a fan of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Yeah.
Like when it came out, I thought it was, I didn't really like reality shows at all.
Yeah.
But that this was just so, it was only focused on helping people, not exploiting people.
Yep.
And they're all just funny. And there's always, I mean, all the things, you know, if you've seen it, they're to love. I just think it's great. And I was so happy that this new one has been working so far.
Yeah.
I think I'm four episodes in as of today. And that the new Fab Five are growing on me,
you know, good.
And I've let go of the bias of
it's hard.
The old ones, and it's been great. And I'm happy they're back and making people's lives better.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I only watched the first episode. I liked it though; it was fun.
So as far as where you can find us, we have a Twitter account now
and an
email.
Yeah, it's Dismembering Horror is the Twitter, like our actual name, but it's at Dis. Horror Pod. D-I-S. Horror Pod.
And we have an email too, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can email us. That's just dismemberinghorror@gmail.com.
Great.
.com.
Perfect.
And I'm at Tim Aslin on Twitter.
I have a Twitter that's at Ryan McDuffie. Don't really use it so much. I have fun on Instagram is at Mayor McDuffie. And you can get to all those on my portfolio website, which is RyanMcDuffie.com.
But just to be clear, mayor like he, like hello townspeople, not mayor like
no.
Okay, cool.
A mayor.
Cool.
Okay, Tim, so how about next week's episode?
Oh my god, I'm super excited. We're gonna go see a Nick Cage jam.
Janos. What's his name?
Well, it's
Panos Cosmatos joint.
Oh, yes.
Gonna go see the much hyped Mandy. So we hope you catch it. I believe it's in limited theaters, but available on demand.
Yeah, we're gonna see it in the theater, which is gonna be fun.
So yeah, watch it and then listen to us talk about Mandy until then.
Mandy.
All right, goodbye.
Is it ironic? Wait, is it ironic that we just did a Mandy Moore movie and now we're going to go see a movie called Mandy?
No, it's coincidence.
Right.
That's the
It's Alanis Morissette ironic.
Right, it's the incorrect use of the word ironic.
Awesome. Well, take it easy everybody. Have a good week. Come back next week fresh and ready to talk Mandy.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ha 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 ha!